Welcome back to the CFL Game Wrap-Up Show. I'm Kent Goodwin III, and I'm joined by the fantastic Sandra Wellborn. We are breaking down one of the wildest wildcard games in CFL history. The Fargo Sodbusters pulled off a squeaker against the Alaska Kodiaks, 23-20.
Kent, you can say that again. Overtime thriller in Alaska. You sent over some incredible stats and play-by-plays, but wow, what a game.
All right, Sandra, let's take our listeners through this game. It was a roller coaster from start to finish. It all went down in surprisingly nice weather for Alaska. 68 degrees, fair and calm. Fargo wins the toss and elects to receive.
You know, a lot of people don't realize how important that coin toss can be, especially when you're dealing with those potentially harsh Alaskan conditions.
That's a great point, Sandra. And Fargo came out firing. First play of the game, their running back Carl Shapiro burst through for a 19-yard gain. Big statement right out of the gate.
Talk about setting the tone. And they kept that momentum going. They got another solid run from Shapiro, then a 5-yard gain by Daryl Plord. Although, let's not forget that fumble.
Oh, man. Plord coughs up the ball. But luckily for Fargo, their center Wyatt Burgess recovers it. That could have been a disastrous turnover.
Absolutely. A huge swing in momentum right there. Recovering that fumble was crucial for Fargo, and they capitalized on it beautifully.
And they sure did. John Stone connects with Jimmy Sasaki for a 43-yard touchdown pass. Sasaki just turned on the jets and left the Alaska defense in the dust.
That speed was electrifying. Alaska's secondary looked completely flat-footed, but give credit where it's due. Alaska answers back with a methodical drive of their own, capped off by a Dylan Brock touchdown run.
And this is where we started to see Alaska's game plan come into focus. They favored running plays throughout the game, particularly with Brock.
And why not? It was working. They rushed for 250 yards. Compared to Fargo's 139, they were leaning heavily on that ground game. It was like a battering ram, just wearing down Fargo's defense.
I love that analogy, Sandra. Fargo was trying to counter with an air attack.
Yeah.
Johnstone had a decent game, 286 passing yards. But yeah, they weren't as effective. It really was a classic clash of styles.
And that's what makes football so much fun to watch. These strategic battles, the chess match on the field.
So we head into the second quarter. What did you see there, Sandra?
The second quarter was a real back and forth affair. It turned into more of a defensive struggle. Both teams traded field goals. But Alaska left some points on the field, missing 2 field goal attempts. Fargo's kicker, Ray Perot, was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And that ended up being a huge factor down the stretch.
Those missed field goals really came back to haunt the Kodiaks.
Yeah.
We go into halftime with Fargo clinging to a 17-10 lead.
A slim lead.
Yeah.
And it was anyone's game. Coming out of the half, though, Alaska really turned up the heat. They tied it up again with, you guessed it, another Dylan Brock touchdown run.
That guy was unstoppable. 3 touchdowns. Alaska's offensive line was opening up some serious holes for him to run through.
They were moving bodies. Yeah. But Fargo didn't back down. They regained the lead with, and this is a theme, folks, another Perot field goal. He was money all night.
You're telling me. But then things got really interesting in the fourth quarter. Alaska takes their first lead of the game with, drum roll, please, another Dylan Brock touchdown run. The Kodiaks were just pounding the rock, but Fargo wasn't done yet.
And with time ticking down, they managed to tie it up with, you guessed it, a Perot field goal. Sending the game into overtime, the tension was palpable.
It was incredible. The Sodbusters showed some serious resilience on that final drive. They were facing immense pressure. But they stayed calm, made the plays, and kept their season alive.
And then we went into overtime.
And what an ending it was. But I think we need to save that drama for the next segment. What do you say, Sandra?
I think our listeners need a moment to catch their breath after all that excitement. We'll be right back to break down that wild overtime and highlight some of the key players who stood out in this epic matchup.
Welcome back to the CFL Game Wrap-Up Show, folks. We're still reeling from that incredible fourth quarter. That sent the Fargo Sodbusters and the Alaska Kodiaks into overtime. The energy was electric. So, Sandra, set the scene for us. It's overtime. Anything can happen. What's the mood like?
Well, Kent, you could cut the tension with a knife. Both teams left everything they had on the field. And now it all came down to one final possession.
Alaska gets the ball first, right? What happens?
Great. Alaska gets the ball, but they can't convert. They stall out, giving Fargo the chance to win it all.
The pressure is on. It all comes down to the Sodbusters' offense. Do they deliver?
They do, but it wasn't easy. They had to grind it out, inch by inch. And with the game on the line, who else but Ray Perot steps up and nails the game-winning field goal?
Ice in his veins. Perreault was absolutely clutch for Fargo in this game. He was a difference maker.
You can say that again, Tan. And it's interesting because Alaska's defense really stepped up in the second half. They limited Fargo to just one touchdown after halftime.
But Perreault was there to bail them out every time. Talk about a valuable asset. What a performance.
It really shows how impactful special teams can be, especially in a close playoff game.
Absolutely. So as we dive into the individual performances, let's talk MVP. Who gets your vote, Sandra?
This one is tough because Dylan Brock was an absolute beast for Alaska. Three touchdowns. He carried that Kodiak's offense on his back. But for me, the MVP has to be Ray Perreault.
I'm right there with you. He was the hero of the night, those three field goals, including the game winner in overtime. That's what legends are made of.
He was perfect when it mattered most. But we can't ignore Brock's incredible game. He was a one-man wrecking crew, consistently breaking tackles, fighting for every yard.
He was phenomenal, rushing for 166 yards, averaging almost 8 yards per carry. Alaska really committed to that ground game, and it almost won them the game.
It's a shame they couldn't pull it off for him, but he's definitely a player to watch next season.
Absolutely. Now, beyond those standout performances, were there any other players who caught your eye?
You know, I was really impressed with Fargo's wide receiver, Levon Rice. He was consistently making big plays, even when he was facing tight coverage.
He was a chain mover for the Sodbusters. Always seemed to come up with a clutch catch when they needed it most.
And for Alaska, I have to mention their center, Brody Alexander. He was an absolute rock, opening up those holes for Brock to run through.
He was dominating the line of scrimmage. You could tell that Brock's success running the ball was directly related to Alexander's performance.
No doubt about it. Those two were a force to be reckoned with.
Definitely two players to keep an eye on as the playoffs continue. It's a shame Alaska's season is over. They gave Fargo all they could handle.
They did. It was a classic David versus Goliath matchup. And they nearly pulled off the upset.
It really was a testament to their resilience and determination. But at the end of the day, Fargo found a way to win. They move on in the playoffs. But they've got some things to work on if they want to go all the way.
Absolutely. And Alaska, despite the loss, they have a lot to be proud of. They have a bright future ahead of them.
Well said, Sandra. It was an incredible game, a nail-biting finish, and a reminder that anything can happen in the CFL playoffs.
That's right, Kent. And to our listeners, thank you for joining us on this wild ride. We'll be back next time for another deep dive into the CFL playoffs. Until then, keep those helmets shining.
So, Sandra, we've talked about the standout players, the thrilling overtime finish, but what does this all mean for these two teams moving forward?
That's a big question, isn't it, Kent? For Fargo, they survive and advance, but can they keep relying on those field goals to win games?
Yeah, that's a great point. Perreault was fantastic, but you can't expect him to single-handedly win every game. They need to find a way to get their offense clicking more consistently.
Exactly. They were held to just one touchdown in the entire second half in overtime. That's concerning, especially against a tough Alaska defense.
You're right. Their quarterback, Kai Johnstone, had his moments but also made some mistakes. Yeah. He threw an interception and got sacked three times. He needs to be more careful with the ball.
Especially since they're such a pass-heavy team. Yeah. If they want to make a deep run in the playoffs, they'll need Johnstone to step up and be more of a leader on the field.
No doubt about it. Now, what about Alaska? Their season ends with a heartbreaking loss, but they really gave Fargo everything they could handle.
They did. They had a clear game plan, control the clock, run the ball, and play tough defense, and it almost worked.
They dominated the time of possession, and Dylan Brock was a revelation. What a performance from him.
He was incredible. If they can build on their strengths and maybe address some of their weaknesses, like their kick game, they could be a real contender next season.
I agree. They have a lot to be proud of despite the loss. They proved they can compete with the best in the league.
Absolutely. It's always tough to see a team season end, especially in such dramatic fashion. But I'm confident that Alaska will be back stronger next year.
Well said, Sandra. It was an incredible game, a nail-biting finish, and a reminder that anything can happen in the CFL playoffs.
That's right, Kent. And for our listeners, thank you for joining us on this wild ride. We'll be back next week with another CFL playoff deep dive. See you then.